Hello. It's Paul O'Mahony here, and I'd like to dwell on the topic of mental health for a few minutes. And it's a Tuesday evening, it's very dark, it's very wet, and there's even been talk of snow in Cork, so times are getting tougher. And we're getting closer to Christmas, and for many people, Christmas isn't a great joyful family occasion. It's a time when a lot of buttons get pushed, a lot of memories resurface, and people often find the excitement, the commerciality of it difficult to deal with in lots of different ways, not just in the way of trying to find an answer to how am I going to afford to buy the kids the presents that I know they want and that they expect, but also how am I going to cope with all the bonhomie, the occasions when I'll be asked, how are you? You're looking good, bad or indifferent, and I want to have something to say. So it is a good thing to think about Christmas and how to get through it, how to survive it, and also, of course, how to enjoy it, but getting through it without having too much strain on not just on your pocket, but on your mental health is incredibly important, I think. And I know many people who find it to be difficult, and this evening I'm going to meet a group of people, and I would say that most of them will find Christmas to be one of the most challenging times of the year. And it's not just because of the absence of sunlight. Many of them might indeed have experience of sunlight deficit, called SAD, you know, where people's mood goes down when they don't get enough of the right kind of light. So I'm going this evening to a meeting of an organisation in Cork, a small voluntary organisation in Cork called AWARE. Now, it's part of a bigger organisation, it's part of AWARE Ireland, and it's a self-help group in which somewhere between 10 and 20 people will sit in a kind of a circle and a variety of chairs and will do their very best to help each other with whatever issues people bring to the meeting. And the meeting will go on from 8 o'clock until 9:30, and then the meeting will finish and we'll have a cup of tea and a chat in the kitchen, and we'll go our separate ways for the week. And it's a regular meeting. It happens every Tuesday evening in Cork, and it happens around Ireland in a number of other places. And if you want to find out where is there an AWARE meeting happening in Ireland near you, you can Google AWARE Ireland and you'll find all the information you want. And there are telephone numbers where you can ring up and speak to somebody if what I'm going to say next, you know, makes you feel that it might be interesting for yourself or even for somebody that you know. There may be groups like this in other countries, and if there are, I'd be very grateful to know about them, because it's always encouraging to know what's happening in other countries, and especially in the area of mental health. It's so important to me personally because my own mental health has been vulnerable over the years, and I've recently recovered from a long, difficult bout of depression. And in going to this meeting this evening, I suppose in a personal note, my reason for going is that I have a huge vested interest in staying well, remaining well, and being able to cope with the ups and downs of daily life during the coming year, but also the ups and downs of my internal psychology, my internal emotional health, because that can also go up and down along with every other metric you like to think about. So I suppose if I was talking to somebody who had never ever heard of the idea of a mental health self-help group, where would I start? Where would you like me to start? I say to myself. The name of the organization wouldn't be important, you know, in the first place. It would be about issues like, oh my goodness, if I went, would I be safe? What would people think when I came in? What would I think when I saw the other people? And would it be friendly? How difficult would I have to say anything? So let me just tell you what will happen this evening in Cork is the vast majority of the people will have been to such a meeting before. And there might well be one, two or three people who have never been to a self-help group for their mental health before. And they will be understandably nervous. And somebody in the room, a facilitator is what the person is called, one of the facilitators will make it their business to say hello to them and to welcome them and to offer them a couple of bits of information, written information, leaflets to take away with them after the meeting, knowing full well that, you know, when they're there just having arrived not long before the meeting, there won't be time for them to read it, and anyway they'll be more concerned about noticing who's in the room, how many are men, how many are women, how many are my age, their age, in other words. In other words, who do they start off with a feeling that they can relate to in the room? The way you do, with the way any person does, no matter what their mental health is like, when they go into a room full of strangers. You know, the first thing is about safety. It's about what are the ground rules here. I don't want to embarrass myself about speaking out of turn or sitting in the wrong place or behaving inappropriately. So people will want to generally not be noticed much. They'll want to fit in, and they certainly won't want... They'll have enough on their mind already, and they don't want to add to any troubles they might feel or any anxiety that might be in them. They might well have been thinking of coming for years. I remember my mother telling me 5 years before I ever went to such a meeting about this organisation in Ireland that had such meetings, and I was living in the UK, and she was very keen that I actually come back from the UK and visit Ireland and go to one of these meetings. But anyway, it took me 5 years before I took the step of phoning a number that I found on the internet, phoning the headquarters of the organisation, which is in Dublin, finding a friendly person on the end of the phone who was able to say to me, yes, there is a meeting, it's on this evening, and it's in such and such a place, and you know where that is, and let me tell you how to get there. So the person may well come to the meeting with another person who may have dropped them down and may wait for them to pick them up after the meeting. There is even a different kind of a meeting and it might be happening this evening or it might not, where friends and supporters and relatives of, we call it the relatives meeting, a small group of them meet in another room in the same building and have their own discussion with others about what's it like to be doing your best to support somebody who has a disturbed mental health or difficult state of mental health, and what's the best thing to do about it, and also more than anything else, how can I best look after myself when I'm trying to look after somebody else. That's a whole topic for another day. This evening I'm just going to focus, or in this conversation, or in this talk, or in this monologue as I drive my car, I'm just going to focus on what it's like to be coming into a room, going to a self-help group. The ground rule, the meeting will start at 8 o'clock. Not an awful lot will be said in public, and people who know each other will be chatting a little bit. Others will be sitting quietly, saying nothing. And the meeting will be started probably not until about 5 or 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, just to do the best possible at trying to make sure that as many people as possible who are coming to the meeting are already in the room, so that there's as little distraction and disturbance to the meeting after it has started. Although I tell you people come late to the meeting, but I tell you it is a bit of a disturbance to be in the middle of speaking about something and then somebody comes in. So, but the meeting will start and the facilitator will explain what the purpose of the meeting is. The facilitators are volunteers. You know, I have been a facilitator sometimes. All the facilitators are, well, all the facilitators are incredibly committed to helping people with their mental health issues, and virtually all of them have direct personal experience of significant difficulties with their own mental health. They may have recently recovered from an emotional difficulty, mental health difficulty, or they may have been well for several years, but they certainly will be able to remember what it was like for them. And you'll be coming into a room where you'll never meet so many people who will have so much valuable experience about mental health struggles. And it'll be a room in which the people sitting there will really be very good at understanding, in general terms, what an individual, what everybody else is kind of going through. They won't be foolish enough to think that they know exactly what somebody's going through, but they certainly will be able to say to themselves, I've heard somebody talking like that before. This reminds me of what it was like for me. And whenever they say anything in the room during the evening, they'll be speaking out of experience rather than out of just good ideas or books or anything else that they've read. They will have been, if you like, strugglers themselves. So the meeting will have the ground rules explained, and they're very simple ground rules, and how long the meeting will go on, and you know how to behave during the meeting, really, in the sense of, you know, not to interrupt people, and how give people a chance to say what they want to say, and to offer suggestions and comments and feedback in a unpushy way, and with a big stress on confidentiality, on the importance that whatever is heard in the room is kept in the room and not spoken of to other people. Even to the extent that if you run into somebody who's at the meeting during the week while walking down the street in Cork, we encourage each other, you know, not to go bounding up to the person saying, hello, nice to see you, but even to just completely ignore the person and walk on by and not show any sign of having met them before, just in case there would be somebody with them who would then turn around and say, how do you know that person? And that might cause a difficulty. So this is just kind of setting the scene. And I'm only going to set the scene in this. What I'm really wanting to put across in as best I can is the idea that the self-help group that I'm going to this evening will be a very caring place. Everyone will do their best to be helpful. And people will have the right and have the experience to being able to just sit there and do nothing, just other than listen and relax and say nothing and just draw breath, let the day wash over them. People might be struggling very, very with very great difficulties, but just not be able to speak. So there's zero pressure on anybody to say anything. There's a good chance that at the very end of the meeting, the people who haven't said anything at the meeting will just be asked generally if you'd like to just, is there anything you'd like to say before we finish the meeting? And that would be a time when there wouldn't be time to explore what the person might open up, but just as somebody might want to say, look, you know, I haven't said anything this evening, but I'm going through a tough time, or it's just, you know, and I'd like to come back again and, you know, after I know, have a bit more confidence, maybe I'll be able to talk myself. Just to say a final thing, really, about something I could speak for quite a long time about. One final thing is really, the way it works in nitty-gritty terms is that people in the room get a turn, up to them to take it if they want it, to speak for a little bit about what's on their mind and how they're feeling. And they get an opportunity when they finish speaking. First of all, they get an opportunity to speak without anybody interrupting them. And secondly, they get an opportunity to ask for comments and feedback from others if they want them. And if they don't want them, they have the complete right just to speak and just to say, I've said enough, without anybody, you know, feeling compelled. They're not compelled to listen to other people's views. But if and when they do want to hear comments back from other people, what they will get is people's best shot at being helpful. It might be suggestions that they might find it helpful to do something. Anything from, go for a walk every day, open the door of the house, let some fresh air in, keep a diary, go out and have a cup of coffee with somebody, go to bed at a regular time, find a counsellor. There's a list. It could be, there's a whole menu of things that individuals might find helpful depending upon the kind of person they are and the experience they're having and what they're ready for at the moment and their overall situation. So it's not a situation where there's any formula in which anyone will say to you or say to anybody, oh yes, the formula for how to deal with an XYZ type of depression or mental health issue is that you should do the following things. There'll never be anything like that. One of the great things I've found is that there is a huge intuitive acceptance that every person is an individual, and that what works for one person might well not work for another person, and what's worked for me might not be helpful for another person. So there's a great effort. The one thing that is good about it is you get a chance to listen. If you speak, you get a chance to listen to yourself talking, and just that in itself is a bit like listening to yourself out loud. Quite irrespective of what anybody else hears, if you speak about your own mental health issues, it gives you a chance to reflect on what you have experienced or what you're thinking and feeling. So we've now reached the end of the drive into town, so I'll stop. I'm on my way, as I said again, to a meeting of AWARE, a self-help group, happens in the centre of Cork City every Tuesday evening, 51 weeks of the year, except for 1 week of the year when we have a Christmas meal out. Anybody who wants to come during the year can come. So I'm getting out of my car and going in. It's Paul O'Mahony, hoping that you're going to be as well as you can be. All the very best. Bye-bye.